quick quiz over this story, the Zacchaeus story. You know, the wee little man was he, all that sort of thing. Tell me a few things that you remember about Zacchaeus, right out of that story, right out of what you know. What are some things you know? One of the things, I guess, is, you would say, well, he was a short man. He was a wee little man. Remember that? Okay. And what did Zacchaeus do? What was his profession? He was a tax collector. Exactly, exactly. And where did Jesus find Zacchaeus? Up in a tree. Now, for most of us, that's our knowledge of Zacchaeus. I'd like us to take a little deeper look at this story tonight, and I've entitled the lesson, Finding Your Zacchaeus, finding the person who's open-hearted, searching for God, wants to be in right relationship with God. Next Sunday, the 21st, is Easter Sunday. I realize it's just one of many Sundays for us. We're not trying to put one day above another. But yet, in the broader world, that is the day for Christianity. It's a day when people think about coming to church who do not normally come to church. It's a time when people may be more interested in accepting an invitation than a normal time they would be accepting an invitation to come to services. So I wanted to share this lesson with us tonight, the Sunday night crowd, as we think about how can we make use of that opportunity that's on our calendars as, quote, Easter Sunday. We know it's another Sunday. But the world is thinking about the resurrection of Jesus. The world is thinking more about spiritual things. It's an opportunity for us. So I'd like to share some thoughts on finding your Zacchaeus. And by the way, your Zacchaeus is not necessarily short, not necessarily a tax collector, and you probably won't find him up in a tree. But God has placed a Zacchaeus in your life and in mine because they're people that are open to relationship with God and open to learning about the Lord. Even in our secular world, everyone's spirituality has not been turned off. Some are turned off to Christ. I understand that. Some are antagonistic. But there are many who are still open enough to conversation and to learning about Jesus. Let me share these points with you as Jesus worked with Zacchaeus, and let's apply those in our lives as we work with people in our world. The first is Jesus saw Zacchaeus. We need to watch for our Zacchaeus and see if we can join God where he's working. You may have noticed in this text, Jesus was just passing through Jericho on his way to Jerusalem. Jesus is on his way to the crucifixion. He is on his way to his death. I don't think Jericho was on his day timer. Now, I'm not saying the Lord's not omniscient. Obviously, he was. He knew what was going to happen. But yet, when Jesus is passing through Jericho, he sees this man who's literally gone out on a limb to see him. Jesus recognizes that. Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today. Now, to some of us, we might think that's kind of rude. It's kind of like inviting ourselves over. But for Zacchaeus, that is not rude. That is a tremendous bridge builder. Zacchaeus was a tax collector. The Jews did not like tax collectors. They worked for the Romans, right? So to the Jewish people, they see Zacchaeus as a turncoat, as someone who's maybe, you know, in league with the Romans. And they're not likely to have table fellowship with him. But Jesus said, I need to spend time with you. I need to spend time with you. I must stay at your house today. So watch for the person that's open to the Lord in your life and be willing to spend some time with him. Be willing to build some bridges with him. You probably won't find your Zacchaeus up in the tree. He's probably not a short man. And by the way, he may not be a he. It may be a she. But somewhere along the way, God has placed in your path a Zacchaeus, someone who is open-hearted toward God, someone who's searching, someone who's wanting more of a relationship with God. So keep your eyes open, and you don't have to look up in the trees to find them. Number two this evening. Be flexible with your schedule, just like Jesus was. Jesus was just passing through Jericho on his way to Jerusalem. And there were a lot of crowds that had come to see Jesus. They wanted to see the miracle worker, the teacher. Jesus was quite a celebrity at this point in time. As he enters Jerusalem, remember, today is Palm Sunday in many denominations. They remember the time that Jesus entered to the cries, Hosanna, and the giving of the palm leaves in front of him to pay this path. Jesus is on the way to Jerusalem, but he was willing to interrupt his schedule. I don't know about you, but sometimes I'm a little too much of a slave to my schedule. Are any of you a little bit that way? You know, if it's on the day timer, it's almost like it's in concrete. You know? And thou shalt not be moved. I shall not be moved is its theme song. Well, you know, sometimes I do need to be moved. Sometimes I need to change. Sometimes I need to mix things up, like this morning. I had planned to preach this morning. God had other plans. He froze up my throat during Bible class, and I really appreciate Mike stepping right up to do the good job this morning. But we've got to be flexible, because ministry's not always scheduled. You know, it's really tempting for me to say, you know, Lord, I'll give you between 7 and 8 o'clock tonight. But you know, sometimes opportunities don't come between 7 and 8 o'clock tonight. Have you ever noticed that? Sometimes opportunities to serve, sometimes the opportunities to put in a good word for Jesus, sometimes the opportunities to lift someone don't come at the hours that we have scheduled them. Jesus was willing to interrupt his schedule. It was flexible. Sometimes I'm too inflexible. Sometimes opportunity presents itself. Someone calls, someone drops by. You're just passing through Jericho, if you will, on your way to Jerusalem. And it's time to stop and change plans and say, Zacchaeus, I need to spend some time with you. That's what Jesus did. Number three tonight, focus on your Zacchaeus. Look at verse 5. Look at verse 5 in the text. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said, Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay in your house today. Ministry comes down to one-on-one. Now, there's a place for pulpit proclamation. There's a place for classroom teaching. I understand that. There are places for church programs. There's places for that. But ultimately, ministry is very personal. It's relationship-oriented. It comes down one-to-one. It means building relationships and sharing God. And there comes a time like Jesus, we need to just simply focus on our Zacchaeus, that one person. So Jesus is passing through the crowds on his way to Jerusalem. He's passing through Jericho, and lots of people have come to see him. And Jesus says, Zacchaeus, come down from that tree. I've got to stay with you today. Jesus is willing not only to interrupt his schedule, not only to be watchful for who God's going to place in his life, but Jesus is saying, I'm going to spend some time with you, man. Let's go out for coffee is what we'd say today, right? Let's have a meal together. Let's spend some time together. The first church that I ministered full-time with in Oregon had an elder named Gary. Gary was a good, godly man. Gary did not like the public leadership of the church. He did not want to be preacher. He did not want to be song leader. He did not want to be Bible class teacher. But I'll tell you something, Gary was a perfect personal worker. Get him one-on-one with somebody, and he made a difference in that person's life. And this man, Gary, was not someone who would just, if I say get people wet, you know what I'm talking about? He wasn't just driving them to the baptistry. He wanted them to be baptized, absolutely. But he wanted to mature them in the faith, not just simply get them into the water, but help mature them. So the first year I was in Oregon, Gary was working with a young man, recently went through divorce, difficult time. He spent a year with that person, meeting with him every week, teaching him. Next year, he chose somebody else. And he spent a whole year teaching that person, being with them, mentoring them, discipling them, whatever term you want to use. One-on-one time, at least once a week. Today, the man that Gary was teaching is an elder in that congregation. Because Gary used the one-on-one time and built relationships and helped people come to know God. And I praise God that we have people in this church who will invest one-on-one. And there's some in you right now. You know who you are. I'm not going to embarrass you by pointing you out. But you're spending people with one-on-one time with people because you care about people. You grow people. That's the way Christian ministry works. Paul wrote to Timothy, and the things you've heard from me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable men who will be qualified to teach others also. Never underestimate the power of focusing on one. Jesus didn't. Zacchaeus, you've got to come down to that tree. I've got to spend some time with you. We've got to go to your house today. Principle number four. Don't listen to the naysayers in the crowd. Look at verse 7. The people begin to mutter, "He has gone to be the guest of a sinner." Now, Zacchaeus was the chief tax collector. It's bad enough to be a tax collector in ancient Israel. It's worse to be the chief tax collector, right? Zacchaeus was high up that pyramid that a lot of Jews didn't want to touch. Listen to what the people said about Jesus. "He's gone to be the guest of a sinner." Sometimes when we work with people, we work with people who are imperfect. Have you ever noticed that? Of course, we're all imperfect. But some are more imperfect than others. Can I say it that way? Jesus didn't worry about his reputation being tarnished spending some time with Zacchaeus, the tax collector, in Jericho. Zacchaeus would automatically be seen as a turncoat among the Jews because he worked for the Romans, and likely a white-collar thief because tax collectors, as a rule, were not known for their honesty. And such was the reputation of tax collectors in ancient Palestine. And Jesus went home with that man. And the crowds couldn't imagine that this rabbi would do so. So they begin to mutter, "He's gone to be the guest of a sinner." When you work with people, you're going to work with some people who maybe have a reputation that isn't great. Maybe they're involved in things they shouldn't be involved in. They may need to be taught better so they will do better. When you focus on your Zacchaeus, somebody's going to cry, "You've gone to be the guest of a sinner." You're working with an alcoholic. You're working with somebody who's dealing with, who's been doing drugs. Don't you know that that couple isn't even married yet? I'm not saying those behaviors don't need to change. Those behaviors must change to be in line with God's word, right? I'm saying Jesus was not beyond working with people who were not on his same moral platform. Don't listen to the crowd. If your Zacchaeus is open to God, don't worry about your reputation and spending time with him. After all, isn't the church more of a hospital for sinners than a rest home for perfect saints? Zacchaeus stood up. Remember this? He's a short man. So when he stands up, he's still not real tall, but he stands up, and when people start attacking Jesus for going to be the guest of a sinner, Zacchaeus says, "Wait a minute, guys. I want you to know something." He says, "If I have cheated anybody, I'm going to give him back four times that amount. Half of my possessions are going to go to the poor." Zacchaeus is saying, "You have written me off. You see me as a sinner because I work for the Romans. I want you to know there's another side of me. I believe in generosity and I believe in honesty. And if I've done this, cheated anyone, I imagine he has, I'm going to repay him four times." That is a man with a repentant heart. That is a man who wants to do God's will. Zacchaeus didn't want anything to stop Jesus from coming into his house. Number five, build a friendship with your Zacchaeus. Jesus told Zacchaeus, "I must stay at your house today." I mean, talk about inviting yourself over. Jesus just plain out does it. But Zacchaeus wouldn't mind because Jesus knew he wouldn't mind because the two wanted time together. Jesus knew relationships mattered. It's one thing to have a golfing buddy, a bowling buddy, a hunting buddy, and all of those things are fine, good, and dandy. But we also need a few redemptive relationships. People we choose to be with, not just because we enjoy them, but because we want to pour something good into them through God and the knowledge of God's will. I have five words. I may only have five words if this doesn't get better. But I got five words for you. Ministry takes place through relationships. Five words. That is an important part of the sermon. That's part of your take-home value. Say it with me. Ministry takes place through relationships. If we're not willing to have relationship with people, we're not really able to affect them very much. How many of you were converted by the gospel blimp? You've heard of the gospel blimp, haven't you? This is a fictitious preacher's story, but it's, you know, it's got to have some degree of truth. Somebody decided they want to evangelize a community, so they rented out the blimp and loaded it with tracks. And the blimp flew over the community, and they opened the trap door, and all the tracks began floating down on the sidewalks below. And the hope was people would pick up the track and read about Jesus and become Christians. How many of you were converted by the gospel blimp? Nobody. Today, we'd consider that literate. People value relationships. People are converted through relationships. And Jesus knew that. He built a relationship with Zacchaeus. He spent time with him. It was a redemptive relationship. He poured himself into Jesus, into Zacchaeus. And they're open-hearted folks in the, visiting our church and visiting and in the community who would love to spend a little time with you, who would accept your invitation for coffee. And it's not that every word out of your mouth is going to be about the Lord, but some will be, as you build relationship and minister to them. Number six tonight. Jesus found his Zacchaeus because he was about seeking and saving the lost. Look at verse 10. Today salvation has come to this house because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to do what? Seek and save that which is lost. See, you know that verse, don't you? Jesus called Zacchaeus a son of Abraham. That, brothers and sisters, is a compliment to any Jew. To be called the son of Abraham is a tremendous compliment. You're son of Abraham. You're son of the covenant. You're one of my people. And that is what Jesus called Zacchaeus, even though he worked for the Romans, even though he was a tax collector. Jesus recognized Zacchaeus was the son of Abraham. Marshall Keeble used to say, everybody's my brother in the world. If I miss him in Christ, I hit him in Adam. That's his way of saying, I have something in common with every human being. If they're not my brother or sister in Christ, they're still my brother or sister in humanity. And that's what Jesus is doing when he says, seeking and saving the lost. This man, too, is a son of Abraham. He's showing the Jewish people around him the commonality they have with this man that they've written off. Sometimes we just need to remember that the people that are not yet Christians are humans, too. And they're God's people and God's children. They just don't know it yet. No, they're not God's children through Christ. They haven't been adopted by him. But they're God's children by creation, aren't they? Jesus called Zacchaeus the son of Abraham because Jesus knew that he had come to seek and save that which is lost. And of course, we're disciples of Jesus. And guess what business we're in? Same business that Jesus is in, seeking and saving the lost. The lesson is short, but I hope it will be memorable tonight. God has placed a Zacchaeus in your frame of reference, your life, your neighborhood, your workplace, and in mine. They're people that we run across day to day, and we need to begin to see them through the eyes of Jesus. And when we find folks that are open-hearted toward God, like Zacchaeus is, we need to stop and focus on them, spend some time with them, and pour some of our life into them through relationship. And seek and save the lost. That's what Jesus did. He was on the way to the cross, but he took some time for a man named Zacchaeus. Not because he was short, not because he was a tax collector, not because he was a man, not because he was up in a tree, but because he knew his heart was open to God. Let's pray. Lord, open our eyes to the opportunities around us. Help us, Lord, not to be blind to the Zacchaeuses that you have placed in our path. Help us, Father, to see the opportunity to develop redemptive relationships, healthy relationships that guide others closer to your Son. Father, help us not to be ashamed of the gospel, and help us not to be ashamed of working with sinners. Father, we need both. Lord, help us to be like Jesus more than anything else. That's our desire, Lord. Open our house, our mouths, open our schedules, open our hearts, open ourselves to you. Thank you for the story of Zacchaeus, and thank you for the example of your son. We pray in his name. Amen. As we shared this story, maybe some of you have thought, you know, I'm a little more like Zacchaeus. I'm a little on the outside here. All the Jews around me, you know, they're the religious people, but I'm not one of those. I'm a tax collector. I'm a son of Abraham, but boy, they don't view me that way. Maybe you've had a reputation. Maybe you've earned that reputation in a bad way. Maybe you know all too well the power of sin. Have you met Jesus? Have you accepted his forgiveness? Have you come to know him who came to seek and to save the lost? Jesus saves you, and he does so through his blood. He forgives you of sin through his blood. He empowers you with his spirit. He loves you with all of your heart. If you need to respond to his call tonight in a public way, come as together we stand and as we sing.